Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
I'm CG Erickson.
And today we have returning comedian Ken Krantz.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We were just talking about before we started recording. Ken thought we were recording, so I feel bad. We were talking about manly men fixing things like plumbing and whatever. I don't know, whatever else. Kinds of thing. All I can think of is
it takes a realer man than me to fix things, to build things. That's basically what we were talking about,
right?
Real issue.
It was pretty hilarious before we started recording.
I really took the wind out of it.
As soon as Kate was like, you know, we're not recording, it was all.
Well, Ken, you gotta wait to. I do an intro with CG. I do the whole thing. You'll see a recording button. You know.
Yeah.
Trust me, audience. It was hilarious. Yeah. You just have to believe me on this, long time listeners. It was
the rest
hilarious.
Of the podcast.
You wish you were there.
Yeah. The rest of the podcast, we convince everyone how funny those two unrecorded minutes are.
Yeah.
Well, Ken. You're here not just to have fun with us, to promote as well a new podcast you have. So can you explain it? Is it called I Love Rock and Roll?
It's called I Love Rock and Roll. Okay. And it's for music nerds. It's just it is me and do you know Chip Chantry, the Philly comedian?
Not well.
Chip and I, and we were just finding some outrageous stories in rock's history, in music history.
Okay.
And we're just telling the stories. We're bringing in comics and musicians to interview them or have them as guests. So if you're a music nerd, this is a fun one.
Now, is it like old time rock and roll? Is it classic rock? What is it exactly?
We're all over the board so far. So we covered Milli Vanilli because we didn't like everyone sort of knows the surface story, but then we went and really looked into it, and. We had Adrian Iapolucci on for that one,
okay.
Who was so perfect. We covered the Beach Boys with their connection to Charles Manson. We did one on the Runaways. We found one on this guy named Spade Cooley, who was around in the 40s and 50s and was like a saint, was like one of the most famous people in America, like a singing cowboy. And he was like made millions and millions of dollars and then went a little off the rails with drugs and alcohol and beat his wife to death. It was like the original trial of the century.
Now, can you tell me about the Beach Boys' connection to Charles Manson? Because I've never heard that before.
Yeah, so Charles Manson back in the 60s wanted to be a folk singer. He was in prison on some petty crimes and heard the Beatles like everyone else did. And it changed his life and he decided he wanted to be a singer. And when he got out and settled around Hollywood, he became friends with Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys. And they wrote some songs together. The Beach Boys even recorded a song co-written by Charlie Manson. And they agreed that they were going to let him make a demo and the Beach Boys label was going to listen to it. And if they liked it, they were going to sign him. And they ultimately passed. And that's when he snapped. The house where Sharon Tate was killed was a rental property owned by the Beach Boys producer. So they knew that the guy wasn't there anymore. They knew that there, but they went to that address to send a message to the Beach Boys.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I just watched that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which like doesn't give you exactly the story, but it kind, you know, it jogs your memory
about
some of this stuff was real. And dude, that's that's why he went off the road. Yo, he must have been a charismatic motherfucker if he got like made friends with one of the Beach Boys and was like.
He was friends with a lot of the musicians that were in that area at the time. And he, because he was so charismatic and he had all these young girls with him all the time, which the rock stars liked, he was able to make these connections. They said Dennis Wilson picked up a girl who was part of the Manson family, like hitchhiking. And she was like, hey, do you mind if I have some friends over? And he said no. And he went out to do something. When he came back, Charlie Manson was in his house with all these people. And they never left. Like, they just proceeded to stay there for like 8 months. And then finally, Dennis Wilson moved out.
Is that the guy in like the ranch in the movie Once Upon a Time?
No, they didn't really touch on that. I don't think they touched much on this in the movie, if at all.
Well, wow. You're blowing my mind right now.
Yeah,
one failed demo tape, that's how close we were to getting another shitty folk singer. Thank God things turned out the way they did.
Yeah, for real.
At least he's memorable.
I told you Ken can go dark sometimes. I was trying to describe how you are, your comedic style, you know. I think it's neat that you're being this reporter, this investigative researcher into these stories. I had no idea, like CG was saying, that the Beach Boys had a connection to Manson. All right, so people should go check that out for sure. And you said that maybe you'll have us on.
For sure. It's a fun podcast, but it's a lot of work. Like every week, it's like writing a term paper.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I think so. It's keeping you sharp.
Do the guests have to do the research with you, or do you guys do the research?
If you come on, we tell you, you can be as prepared or unprepared as you like. You know, because different people are different, so. Some people want to be completely prepared and have jokes or comments on it. And other people just like to react naturally to, you know, organically. So we try and keep it as low pressure for the guests as possible. If it's something you're interested in.
If I'm fully unprepared, then the jokes are better, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sort of the same way.
But I'm not having it.
You get more honest reactions.
All right. Well, I was just talking to CG about how when he was in a fourth grade, he had the Vanilla Ice tape.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the single.
The full album on tape. And his friend wanted a copy. So CG was recording, because you know back then when you tape, like, so he was recording the tape and realized that he could record his own voice while recording the tape, and did some amazing fourth grade DJing in between songs, like yeah boy, and gave it with a lot of other stuff, and gave it to his friend fourth grade, and he found out that his friend's family listened to it a lot in the mornings. They would listen to the tape of CG DJing or hype manning Vanilla Ice's full album. I think it's the best thing. I wish I could find this tape.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if they didn't know that was you? Like if they just thought that was part of the album for years, and then like one day they put the CD on and they're like, what is this bullshit edit?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was trying to do, man. But once I figured out I could talk over it, I was all over that joint. Like, kick it one time, white boy. You know, like, all, yeah.
I like that you bought the whole album. Like, Ice Ice Baby wasn't enough. Like, you heard it and you were like, I absolutely need more of this.
I didn't know that you could buy just one song at that time. I was like a kid. And so, you know, I went and I was like, Vanilla Ice. And then when I was like, oh, there's more songs, I was like, they must be great. It was, it's not the best album. But I still stick by the song, though. There's Play That Funky Music, White Boy. There's that song. There's I forget a lot of it, but I mean, it was a good time making the tape. And then I'm kind of a legend now with that. I went to Christian school with their son in fourth grade. He asked me for the Vanilla Ice tape. It's pretty vulgar. It's pretty vulgar. And then I found out later, like, you know, that his whole family would listen to it at the breakfast table. And like, I think I was cursing too, maybe, because it was giving me some balls just listening to Vanilla Ice. And so, like, I think I was cursing a little bit too. I would have been mortified if he told me that then. I found out like years down the road. He was like, yeah, what's up, brother?
That's hilarious. Did you even remember doing it?
I did. When he brought it up, I was like, yeah, I made you that tape. That was the illest. And then, you know, they really appreciated it. I didn't know. I thought it was going to go unappreciated. I thought it was only for his listening. And then I was embarrassed. I was seriously embarrassed after. Because that, like, whole family members, a mother of children, was listening to it.
Well, it sounds like they were enjoying it, so you must have done something right.
I guess so. Or they might have just, I feel like they were the parents who just spoiled their kids and let their kids do anything. So I think he just got to pick that song. Like, he would, like, they ate Cocoa Puffs for breakfast. What kind of real family lets the kid eat Cocoa Puffs for breakfast?
For breakfast. I let Shane do that.
Oh, well, my God, dude. I'm calling child services.
That's not funny.
No, I'm just making jokes here, but I think it was that kind of family. The kids kind of ran the show. They could do what they wanted. And so that's what was playing.
Isn't that the best when you, like, pull a joke on somebody and then it has those long-term results? Like, I was probably around the same age, like fourth or fifth grade, and my family, every summer, we used to go down to Cape May, New Jersey, and, like, spend the summer at the beach. And a very close, like, my oldest friend, this girl named Erica, would come with us. Her mom and my mom were really good friends. So we would, like, vacation together. And I met a kid down the shore, and his name was Donald. And we became friends, and we would, like, hang out and play. And we must have told Erica that his last name was Duck, and she believed us. But, like, she was, like, we were young. I just always fucked with this girl. I just always, like, I always just make up the dumbest shit, and she falls for it every single time. And I have no memory of telling her. Like, I only vaguely even remember having a friend named Donald as a little kid. And then, I'm not exaggerating, like, fast forward 30 years, and I don't even remember how it came up in conversation. And she was like, yeah, when you and that kid, Donald Duck. And I was like, what? What kid? She was like, Donald from Cape May. His last name was Duck. I was like, there's no way his last name. Like, what? Of course it wasn't. She'd been telling people for 30 years that she personally knew a kid named Donald Duck. I don't even remember making this bullshit up, and she ran with it for 3 decades.
That's why you liked to fuck with her back then, because she, you know, you knew that you could and it would be hilarious, and you knew, you know, she would take the stuff seriously. That's the funnest person to fuck with.
I still do it now, and she still falls for it. We told her within the last couple years that the Son of Sam was being paroled and going on Dancing with the Stars. And she was furious. She was like, we were at the bar. She was like, we're going too far. This celebrity bullshit's gone too far. And I'm like, we're watching her go. And I'm like, oh my God. And they're like, it's not the 80s. You can Google anything I say. And she just, every time, it's hook, line, and sinker.
That's a good one you guys made up, man. That was inventive right there. It's funny that she was outraged, because that means, like, she kind of knew who that was. And yes. like some reason that outraged her.
Yeah.
You don't know who the Son of Sam is?
No, I mean, I kind of know that he's like a serial killer. But
yeah,
like,
that's enough.
But like she had a soft spot in her heart for that, you know, that story, you know, whereas she got real upset that he was getting out, as if like one of her parents was one of the victims. I like that part. I think that adds to it a little bit.
She was screaming about being done with Dancing with the Stars. She was like, I used to like that show, but I'm never watching again. How could they do this?
That's fantastic. I mean, especially a person like that who has convictions. I like that a lot too. You know, who's really convicted and cares about things and really gets rattled by stuff, and then, you know, they'll scream at the bar about it. That makes it 10 times better. So I probably would be in the same boat if I knew this chick. Kate's kind of that chick in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very gullible. Like, it doesn't occur. My brain doesn't first occur that this could be sarcasm or a lie.
She sent me a picture of one of the Thundercats, and she was like, damn, they looked good. You know, one of the Thundercats. And their faces look good. And I was like, yeah, the story's like they were all models first. And she was like, seriously? And then I told her, like, yeah, they all hung out. They're models at a runway show, like in the pilot episode. And Mumra attacked the runway show. And she was like, seriously? And I was like, you are dumber than a barnyard animal. It was a text conversation. It was a text conversation. But it was really fun. I thought she knew, but then when she asked after I told her that the start of the show was Mumra attacking a fashion show, and she thought that was for real, she was like, oh, shit, I'd be into that, John. And she thought that was going to watch the show after I said that. So, yeah, it hit me hard. It was like, oh, she's eating this stuff. Yeah, so sometimes I have a pretty good time with that. Kate's my Diana or Erica, whoever it was for you.
Yeah, Erica. How long have you guys known each other? How far back does that go?
Seventh grade.
Yeah, like we kind of hung out at like random neighborhood parties without really being friends yet. But seventh grade's when he became my bestie.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was fucking with me then too, for sure. Like,
yeah, that's what blows my mind. So how does it not occur to you?
I don't know, like, because I'll have like a genuine question, you know, like, and I said to him when he said they were all models, I go, are you fucking with me? And instead of saying yes, he like gave me the whole storyline. Like, they were at the runway show, and then Mumra came in, and like, to me, that sounds like, oh, I'm going to watch Thundercats. Like, I'm like, what? And then I Wikipedia'd, and the first thing I saw about Thundercats, they were like, an alien cat race. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, an alien cat race that does runway model shows? Like, I was like, I love this. And then he was like, so stupid. And I was like,
good looking enough to be models. In the cat alien cat race
planet. That's what I was surprised at. Thundercats back when we were kids had body. She-Ra had body. Like, now cartoons aren't that sexy anymore. But
they were drawn by dudes back then. The dudes were just drawing what they wanted to fuck, even if it was a space cat.
But well, it's the dudes funny. Were they hot too. They could draw it better than how women actually look in real life. That's how I'm always like, how did they do that? How can you picture something better than you've ever seen and draw it? Because like the X-Men women, like Rogue in the cartoon, they were ridiculous, dude. They were giving me little kid boners for, you know, for decades. Well, I wasn't a little kid for decades. I don't know.
I know what you're trying to say.
You understand.
I understand.
They're like, yeah, no, they don't have that anymore. I don't think. I don't watch kids' shows these days, but I don't think they have that anymore.
People are angry that cartoons, they're making cartoons less fuckable. And this is like a thing that people are really mad about. I guess Space Jam 2 has, I wasn't like a big Space Jam dude, but one of the lady bunnies, I guess they made, she looked sluttier in the original movie. And when they saw the new one, she's like in baggy shorts and a baggy shirt. And you can't see her body. And people were like mad. They were like, oh, that cartoon Lady Rabbit doesn't look like a whore. anymore. And people were like mad about it. And it was,
I feel like one of those emails were mine, or one of those. I think that added so much to the shows that they were the super hottest women ever. I really thought that did something for me.
I like hot cartoons. Not just, I like when, you know, like when I used to watch She-Ra, She-Ra was hot. He-Man was hot. I didn't know about Thundercats very much. I didn't know that they were
attractive. Kate, it's kind of sick.
Cause it's a cat.
Yeah. I mean, when you looked at it and you sent me that picture, like, damn, check this out. Like, that's a cat from an alien.
It's an alien. It's a cat humanoid thing. I'm not saying I would fuck humanoid. That.
Race. That's what it said.
The cat alien was sexy. Okay. I'm not saying I would do anything with that. You know,
you kind of just said that actually. That's kind of exactly what you just said. but I think in the musical cats, those cats are hot. But like it kind of always turns my stomach a little bit that they're like that they're cats though. It does a really, really weird thing to me. Growing up, I'm looking at it, and I kind of, you know, I'm.
Why'd you get a weird echo?
I don't know. Did you get it too?
It's like God stepped in and was like, "Please stop talking about this."
Maybe I'll chill. I'll take that as a warning.
And moving on. Actually, this next topic I had written links to what we were just talking about.
It does?
Well,
Jesus.
Is that your text going off, by the way?
That's not mine. That's not me.
It's I know it's not it's you, Ken. That's Ken. Why I yelled like that.
It's definitely Ken's.
I mean, to turn that off.
I think maybe I can fix that.
Okay, while you're fixing that, I had the topic of aliens written down because I'm on TikTok and there are lots of alien space, you know, alien UFO stuff videos. Now, some are definitely fake and like admittedly so, like they'll hashtag like they've made it or whatever. And then some are people saying like, I just captured this in LA and they believe it's real. Who knows what it really is. But how do you guys feel? Do you think aliens are out there? I obviously do, 100%. Well, the Pentagon also confirmed they released footage this year and confirmed that they did have evidence of that stuff out there. But CG.
I turned it off. I turned messaging off. What is happening?
I think you're going to, not now, but I think eventually. Is it?
You know who it is.
Will you tell them you're podcasting and to stop?
It's me. I'm just trying to piss Kate off.
I don't even
have his number. I've just been guessing.
I don't know how to turn off when, like, if someone calls on my regular phone and I'm Skyping, it comes through on my computer too. I don't know how to do that. So we both have to figure that out. But anyway, I'll ask you first, Ken, while Siege figures that out. Do you think aliens are out there? How do you feel?
100% I believe in aliens. I mean, they waited until this year to be like, well, you know, maybe we could skate this under the radar. But there's very high ranking government officials that have come out and confirmed it. And I also think it's just insanely small-minded to think that we're the only planet with people zipping around.
I 100% agree.
I mean, this is what I'm thinking. I'm like, I feel like maybe if there were, like, there'd be something more concrete, or that the aliens, it's not that I don't believe they're around. It's that, like, it does. I do always question why there's something not like that's not a lot more concrete. It makes me think though that like maybe they're advanced enough that they're really good at hiding.
No, the Pentagon's released video. The Pentagon has released video of UFOs and been like, this is a UFO for sure.
But I mean, what does that mean? Does that just mean they unidentified it? They couldn't identify it? Or it means it was a ship from another planet.
Like what means it means it was something not from it means it was something that they couldn't even figure out from this planet. So
I definitely there have been so
I got to see that. I didn't know about all that. That just happened this year.
Yeah, they waited until like the height of the pandemic. I mean, they did it like real sly too. It was like they just had a press conference. Some dude gave out a bunch of info and then was like, and aliens are real. And then just kept.
Yes, and they did
it. I did do that because I didn't fucking hear about it.
Yeah. No, it was like front page New York Times at one point. Yeah.
The issue is that it was at the height of the pandemic. So like one day the newspaper's like, more deaths, you know what I mean? And then it was like real quick, aliens are real. And then the next thing it was like COVID, yeah. You know? So, yeah. And yes, they chose to release it when people were so worked up about COVID.
Dude, so, you guys just changed my whole life. My whole life just changed.
Dude. Really?
Quite honestly, yep. I mean, I guess I kind of knew, but like to have it so the government's like, we know. That's some whole different shit.
Well, yeah. I'm saying, and I've read a lot of things too, that government officials, more than one, I would say more than 10 maybe, have come out on the record, which is scary for them to do.
Yes, like super high-ranking military dudes. Saying, not like anonymous, like, oh, general fucking whatever. He's like, yeah, here's the video. They did it real slick. They were like, wear a mask. Aliens are real. Wash your hands. They were slick about it. But they came out and admitted it. And I've watched a lot of documentaries on it. And there's just so many people with the same stories that... This documentary, I'll find you the name of it offline. I don't remember, but there was in New Zealand in the 90s, there was an elementary school where allegedly a UFO came right over the school and hovered over the soccer field for like 10 minutes or something and then took off. And there was hundreds of witnesses. And this was in the 90s, and they interviewed them 30 years later, and every one of those kids grown up, same story. They were showing you the story they told on the news 30 years ago. Their stories haven't changed. They're all sticking to it. You know, like nobody makes a profit off this. It's not like you get rich. People just think you're fucking wacky if you come out and say it. So the fact that they, you know, like hundreds of witnesses and all these years later, they're all sticking to the same story. Yeah, I totally believe in them.
I do. I read a book about a woman who had a lot of experiences with a certain alien race, and she was ostracized. Like, she lost her career, like, for coming out and talking about her truth. Like, you don't really, up until now, maybe, you don't really get rewarded for speaking out about something that people aren't used to hearing or that someone's trying to hide. And I loved her book. You know, she was like, they kept telling me that I was helping to awaken the collective and that I was going to help bring in new frequencies. She's like, but it was so hard because I lost everything while, you know, it happened. But her book's doing well. She's doing well now. But yeah, people have been having sightings and visitations. Some people say they've been abducted for years and years, but I feel like finally, especially with the Pentagon finally admitting it, I think it'll be easier for people to speak out about their lives away from them.
I just heard you reverbing. Is it what's going on? Skype.
By the way, kudos to you, Kate, for single-handedly keeping Skype alive. Like... During the I feel like the pandemic hit and Skype was like, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. And then Zoom was like, nope, because now we're a thing. And then I was like, how did Skype not, like, Skype was Zoom years before anybody needed it. And then the minute we all needed it, we just jumped ship to Zoom.
That's why we decided to stick with it. Ben, I'm not going to lie to you, man. It's not because we don't like paying Zoom fees. It's not because anything along those lines. We're loyal. They were the first to do it. It's like I eat Hydrox cookies. They were the first ones. So it's the way we do things here on Invasion of Privacy.
I know. Whenever we tell our guests, we're like, we're going to be recording on Skype. They're always like, oh man, I think I deleted that like 6 years ago.
Yeah. See, I was like, oh, I created an account. And then you were like, no, I looked for you. You have one. Like, you knew I had a Skype account. And I didn't even know.
Well, you said, you were like this, you know, I said, what's your thing? And you sent me a screenshot, which includes the longest.
Yeah. But I didn't know how to change that.
All in, because when I first searched, I got confused because there were a couple accounts coming up and I was like, wait, maybe, you know, we all worked it out, but that's how it usually goes with now. Every now and then you have someone who's still using Skype regularly and they're like, I'm on it. Here's my, you know, account. But most people are like, oh, okay, I'll get back on there. I'll figure it out. But I love Skype. I do. I think it's magnificent. They were the ones
they're
that
like the hippies of 2021. Like they're the people who don't really give a shit. Like they're smoking a cigarette while they're on Skype in their house. It's those kind of people who still have Skype. So like, yeah, we get some of those. 50% of our guests.
Dude, it's important to have Skype. CG should have WhatsApp. I mean, you never know if an apocalypse is going to hit and which...
America Online?
What'd you say?
Me and Kate use America Online instead of texting.
At the very least, CG should know how to turn the volume down on his phone. Like, he should be... At the very least, he should be able to get his ringer turned off.
No. It's in my computer. It texts through my computer too. And that's what I quit the program and then it unquits it when somebody texts me. So I had to text my friends and say, stop texting me. I'm doing something important and I don't know how to fix it.
Which brings us back to the first 2 minutes that everybody missed.
That's true. I'm okay with computer stuff, but not like what like a real man does. Like I can't build a deck or like I can't like I can plunge a toilet.
I can do that.
It's between like plunging a toilet's where I max out and then like I can't build anything.
You know how to snake a toilet now, don't you? Didn't you learn how to snake a toilet?
Let's not get carried away, Kate. Okay, I did it once.
Oh.
I did it once, but I don't have the confidence to just keep going to people's houses snaking.
It's a gross term. Snaking toilets. It sounds like having sex with bad pussy.
Well, I snaked up a thing
last night. Like,
dude, I've been snaking toilets for decades. Finally settled down with a good woman.
That sounds like how Michael Douglas would talk about Catherine Zeta-Jones, right?
Oh.
No, remember when he said that he got his throat cancer from going down on her?
Is that what he said?
Remember that? Yes.
Wow.
I'm not making this up.
No, did he say like, you know, the doctor told me it's legit? Or did he just come out in an interview and be like, listen, I know what happened.
I think.
This is what went down. I'm Michael Douglas. I'm out.
It felt like a self-diagnosis. It didn't, it wasn't backed up by any medical professional. It felt like a cross between bragging and self-diagnosing.
He was like, listen, I'm 65 years old. I still eat a lot of poontang. It happens.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm not a doctor, but I am Michael Douglas.
I was just like, can you imagine a doctor coming out and being like, we looked over your MRI and your CAT scans, and this is definitely from eating pussy.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say this.
Can you imagine? Because you know Catherine Zeta-Jones is probably in the office with him. Nobody asked him how he got the cancer. Like, it wasn't like he was... he, like, released a statement. It was like, I have throat cancer and I'm pretty sure I got it from my wife's pussy.
I'm Googling, Ken. I have to go.
Go ahead.
Can you Google during a podcast? That's kind of unprofessional, right?
It's like I spend half my podcast on Google.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I got to do that more then. I thought that was unprofessional. I thought it's just like what I know now. And that's all I can use. So, but now I'm turning over a new leaf today. I've changed a lot today.
I'm so confused because things are coming up about this.
Yes, of course they are. I'm not making this up.
Here's one of the, I'll have to read the full articles on this now and see what he said, but it's something like, Douglas told reporters at the time that it's a sexually transmitted disease that causes cancer. And if you have it, cunnilingus is also the best cure for it.
Oh, it's the cure for it.
No, that's not what...
That's what I'm saying. There must be... But he also was saying that he got it from a sexually transmitted disease. So, Ken, I'm going to have you go to Google if you
here,
want.
Watch.
There's another article from TheGuardian.com. I was sorry for the effect of oral sex cancer comments on my wife. So there's... He's regretting something. But I want to know...
Yeah, he had to issue an apology. I think what he was doing was like... In case the cancer killed him, he wanted to make sure that I don't think he's one of those, like, I just want you to find someone else and be happy for the rest of your life, dudes.
She was one of the hottest ladies ever.
Yes.
In her day. Body was ridiculous. They always, I remember the preview for this one thing where there were like all these lasers in this apartment. She was a spy and it just showed the shot of like her ass, like trying to sneak through the lasers. And like, usually
that was Sean Connery.
Yeah. So, I mean, usually they don't do that in like a legitimate movie preview that like it's going to be on the big screen in real movie theaters and stuff like that, just show you like a crazy ass shot as like the biggest part. Now I think that was like the end of the trailer, and you know, so I mean, she is legit, and I'm pretty surprised that he would say it's just a very strange thing to say.
He had to call her, right? To like, after he made those, he had to have seen some like curious looks on the reporters' faces. And then he was like, because you can't let her find out by turning on the news or Twitter. Like, he had to get out ahead of it. So, like, that's gotta be a weird phone. Like, to have to call home and be like, so you may hear something on the news tonight. And I don't know how to tell you this, but. These guys were asking me about my new movie.
They're asking about my new movie.
Well, it's so funny.
What is the newest Michael Douglas movie?
I couldn't even tell you.
He was in this remake with Shia LaBeouf or something called like Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
That might have been the last one, dude.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, no. Especially after hearing that, not a fan. Not a fan. So I'm going to move on to the next topic, which...
It's probably best.
Which traditions are the smoothest? I love it.
Speaking of things that also need attention, there's a civil war going on and protests, some crazy protests going on in Colombia. Have you guys heard about this?
No. I'm not going to lie to you. What exactly is happening?
So there's a lot of civil unrest going on in Colombia right now. There are protests going on because there was supposed to be this tax reform bill that passed and then it got rejected. And people are really protesting to the point where the government's like kidnapping some people. And there are also reports that at least 20 just like dead. There's stuff going on there. But it does.
In Colombia. Wow. Yeah. Who would think such terrible stuff would go on in Colombia?
Okay. CG.
Isn't that like cartel country?
Well, I mean, in a sense, you're right. Like there are so many countries out there. Cause you were talking about that one time you went to Mexico and like the police basically robbed you. So
it's pretty sketchy.
Yeah, so I guess, like, it's not news. Like, guys, Columbia's government's being sketchy and awful. It's like, yeah, I guess. But it's still sad. Like, there were some videos I saw. Because people now on their TikTok.
For being pretty straight up. For being some pretty straight up people, pretty organized government.
Well, people, their citizens are taking TikTok videos of like I saw people, I'm scrolling through my TikTok and I saw videos of like people getting shot or kidnapped and like screaming and I'm like, whoa. So that's going on in Colombia. We can move on from that. Okay, I do want to move on from that. But I just wanted to let you guys know that that's happening. So speaking of TikTok, I posted a video that right now has 1.5 million views, and it's about a mood ring toilet seat / thermal toilet seat. And what I said was in the picture, and Ken, I can show you the picture now, but in the picture, in the mood ring toilet seat, you can see the balls mark on the lid. So my comment was, what kind of a monster would sit on a closed toilet lid? And I have been getting so many responses. I didn't realize it was going to be like this social experiment, but I now know how many men are sitting on closed lids and why.
Why? That's what I'm...
Ken, do you sit on closed toilet lids?
Not naked, but yeah, like if I'm giving my daughter a bath and watching her, but that's it.
But not naked, not like balls out to the lid.
No.
Now, hold on. Do you think if it was a mood ring toilet seat, he would still make the balls print just from sitting there with the jogging pants on? Do you think it would still do it? Or do you think they had to be naked with just balls sitting flat on the toilet seat?
I found out from that particular photo that I posted that the person had shorts on and his balls still made a mark through it. I did find that out because it was
good for him.
Yes, good for him.
It's good to have balls with that much character that you can guess their mood through shorts.
Just slap them.
I don't know who this hero is, Kate, but I like the sound of them.
Yeah, so I found that out, but I also found out that a lot of men, the stuff that shocked me the most was how many men said after a shower, they sit down to like cool or dry off. And it's like, that's one of probably the dirtiest places after you just cleaned yourself to go sit on. Yeah. So
yes,
it was a little shocking. And I, you know, and then a lot of people were mad because I said, his balls. And then one woman tried to be like, oh, really, you're part of the patriarchy, you know, because they were trying to say it could be labia. First of all, where the ball mark was, it could not have been labia. The placement is not the same. But also, I'm all about people doing whatever the fuck they want to do with their bodies and their sexualities. But like, don't come at me because I said his balls. Like, please, I don't need it. Like, in the future, I'll try to remember to say his or her balls.
I think the balls are what make you him, though. Her balls, like, if you say, like, his breasts, like, you know, but like, to say the his part, like, you know, that's the balls.
Yeah, it feels like the natural, but here's the thing. Let's say they are lady balls and you want me to refer to them as her balls. Like, I'll do it. I'll call you anything you want, but can you fucking give me a minute to catch up? Like, am I allowed to take a breath and process it? Like when Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn, if you even took a minute to be like, oh man, that's so weird, because she used to be Bruce Jenner. And the people would be like, you're fucking hateful. I'd be like, nah, I'm all for it. It's just, I think I'm in that generation where you still have to process some shit. And it's like, well, it's just weird.
Yeah. I think everyone has to process stuff like that. I think there's like a forced acceptance some people fake and then turn and say stuff like that. And it's like, it's one thing it's one thing to say to someone, no, you're not allowed to transition into whatever gender you want, or, you know, I don't care. I'm just like, do you? But yeah, I said his balls, because once again, I believe, and maybe I'll get hate for this, but like, when you're born in the hospital, I believe they still say, depending on if there's a vagina or penis, oh, it's a girl or it's a boy. Now, maybe that'll change soon and they'll just say your child has this.
It's a thing.
No, but like, I mean, maybe they'll
it's
just.
It's a baby.
CJ, you're going to get.
Sorry, dude. But listen, it's if like I think really it's weird, I'm going to tell you. If one of my friends, you know, is like, dude, I'm going to become a chick. I'm gonna be like, listen, that's fucking weird. You know, do your thing. But I think it's a pretty drastic move. And it will weird me out. If it's me, you know, if it's my opinion.
I mean,
like,
it's fair to be weirded out by what you're weirded out by. I think there's this interesting fake PC stuff that comes out where it's like, do you want things to actually change, or do you want people to pretend they're okay with everything? Because people are allowed to have things that weird them out or they're not comfortable with, but it doesn't mean you're trying to stop something from
right.
happening. And yeah. I think people aren't allowing for natural, like, you know, for me, I'm still in my head for the most part. I'm like, okay, you have a vagina, you're a girl. I'm not saying that that's 100% true anymore because things are changing, but it's like, it's okay that I still think in my head vagina goes to woman because that's what I was raised with. And that's what even doctors are still doing when a child's born. So, you know, I'll change the times. But
if a dude has a vagina, if you're going to even say that, that means they do still have balls. That means the vagina is behind their balls or something. Because you can't, if it's a dude, if you're saying this dude has a vagina, you're saying it's a dude because there's still a penis there, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Or because I don't think you're saying this dude has a vagina if there's no.
No, you're not. The correct thing would be like, oh, this lady has a very interesting vagina.
Made out of nutsack skin. Sorry, not cool.
I used to get in trouble for Kate, to your point about like this phony PC, and I used to do this joke about my daughter and how I wanted to have a little girl, and because I think little girls are so cute, I think little boys are gross. It's teenage girls that I'm like, ooh, those sound awful. So, like, I keep my fingers crossed that the kid's transgender. So that way, like, when I'm ready to have, like, a fun dude to hang out with, she'll turn into one, like, at 15 or something, and I could skip over the teenage girl. Which, if you break it down, is a pretty supportive joke to the transgender community. I'm actually saying, like, oh, I hope my daughter's transgender. I don't think you can get more supportive than that. And I would still get yelled at by people after shows. Never anybody transgender. Always like a straight, angry white lady who knows somebody that's transgender. And to me, it's so much worse because when you just stick up for something, like when you just blanket defend an entire class of people, what you're saying is they're not smart enough to discern for themselves if this joke is funny. Like when you get offended on somebody else's behalf, you're almost saying like, I don't trust them to determine whether or not this is offensive to them. So I'm going to tell you it's offensive to them, which to me is so much worse.
To me, it's just so, it just shows that people aren't really feeling into things or listening. They hear a triggering word.
Yes.
And then go into some automatic robotic response, because you've told me that joke before and this whole what happened, and it really comes off as a progressive, funny joke and supportive. So for someone to get offended by it, it really, they're not listening. They heard it and they think, oh, how dare you even talk about that?
But yes,
it's actually, that reaction is also going against freedom, because you're like being open-minded to it, and you're not saying anything insulting. And by them just being like, oh, don't even talk about them, it's like,
right.
They're the ones that are still having, I think, a hard time processing, because you didn't, that has no hate in it, what you just said. And I can feel like I would be quick to respond, because I can be that hippie annoying chick, like, how dare you? But like, yes, that feels actually really supportive. Siege, do you want to say anything?
So I guess with that joke, it's pretty clever.
That's how I used to defend it. I would be like, but can't you see how clever it is?
Yeah. Listen, to me, I see cleverness. If you just said something pretty clever and I'm like, oh shit, I never thought of that, it's good. I don't care who it offends or who it's about. If it's pretty clever, I'm going to laugh at it.
And I think, like, because CG may be trying stand up at some point, but I think you're going to see, like, you really can't cater to those people anyway, because I know, CG, you have some concepts where you might use words that automatically make people be like, oh, but, and same with me, like some of my new material I'm going to be doing, someone might hear the first word and immediately get upset, when if they actually listened, I'm not attacking anyone.
Right.
But like, you know, you do see in comedy that there are some people that a topic is just off limits to them. They hear the thing and they're immediately seeing red or upset, and it has nothing to do with what you're saying. There, you've just triggered them into a whole other thing, and you just can't cater to those people. Because if you're actually saying something with good intent and that's not offensive, you can't be scared. Like, I do get a little nervous every time we talk about a transgender issue or hermaphrodites, because I know there's a whole community defending them, which I think's great. They need to have support, but it can't be, don't you even talk about this? And if you do talk about it, it can only be in this certain sentiment or tone. Like, there can't be any humor woven in. Because when you start doing that, you're killing something.
Right.
Flattening the whole wave. So, I hate that kind of stuff. Because I'm here actually trying to, like, make a difference and bring a better world in many ways. And then, like, when you have someone like that who's masquerading, like, they're pretending they're bringing in a better world, but they're actually just, like, popping off at a word, I can't.
They just like an excuse to tell you, to point their finger at you. Those people are dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you always amazed when it's a comic policing other comics? Like, when you see the comics coming out against something a comic said?
Well, when I had that happen to me, I was shocked, because anyone who really talks to me knows I have good intentions and that I'm also an artist trying to try out new things. So I see it as, once again, yeah, it's what CG's saying. It's someone wanting to point a finger. They want to take their power. They want to feel powerful and tell you what you can and can't do. It's to squeeze you into a certain kind of box. And those of us who are too strong, we're just like, you know, it might get to us for a second and make us like double think or whatever, but ultimately, you know, a real free spirit with humor is not going to let those people win. That's a very colorless world when those kinds of people win.
Yeah, they suck the joy right out of everything.
Yes.
They suck the warmth and the happy right out of everything.
And it's never a good comic you see attacking other comics. It's never somebody whose work you respect, you know?
Well, I thought I did respect some of the people's work that came after me. And then I realized, you know, I don't even want to talk shit right now.
Nobody's listening, Kate. Go ahead. Oh, Kate's like, hey, there's no way I want to make a good show right now.
I'll say this because I actually don't disrespect these people's comedy. I think they do have talent, but I think it came from people who aren't pushing limits in a certain way that maybe they want to. And that's the nicest way I can say it is,
yeah,
if you're attacking someone who has a good heart and good intentions and you're coming at them a certain way and telling them what they can and can't do, you're scared. You're scared, yeah, of something and you haven't faced it.
Right.
And, that's on them, but I'm gonna keep doing me.
It's people that don't take risks attacking risk takers.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And the risk takers are taking the risk because they're trying to pump some magic into this world that can be real bland and real, you know, unexciting and cold and dark. And, you know, so you're trying, you know, you're jumping to try to pump some warmth into the world, some a little bit of light. And then, you know, you can get out of pocket sometimes, and you did step a little far, but you're trying, you're putting it out there. You're trying to make it better. You're trying to make things better for people, make people laugh, make people happy.
Ken didn't go out of pocket. I went out of pocket with labia game. I did go a little out of pocket. I will say that it was out of pocket. But it was truly in good fun. I thought everyone, I was an idiot to think everyone would be in on it. Like, it was like, I'm a female. I'm gonna say the craziest shit because I turn on rap and everyone's the craziest shit. I'm a comedian. Right. I'll try to make it funny. I don't think I completely hit the nail on the head. I know that, but like,
well, I remember that. No, I watched that video. That was very funny.
I tried to be, and I tried to spoof it, you know, like, but.
Well, that's the like the like parody right now is dead. People don't understand parody anymore. So they don't, yeah, they don't get that you're poking fun at the subject and that you're not seriously a rap. Not that you're not a rap, but that you're poking fun at and if you were a dude and you put that song up about your dick, if you were a male comedian rapping about your dick and your balls, it would have gone viral and people would have fucking loved it and been like, oh, this dude's so funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that was kind of the point, was like, as a girl, you know, to play with it. But yeah, but that's why, because when CG said out of pocket, I knew you weren't talking about Ken's joke. Not that Ken does have some jokes that are out of pocket, which is why I respect it.
No, what I'm saying is, like, I get out of pocket sometimes because I'm going for it. You know, I'm going for it. I'm trying to make people laugh, trying to make people laugh. And then, oh, shit, I stepped a little further than I wanted to step by accident. But, you know, in the moment, it's like playing a football game. Like, you know, you get some penalties, like when you're trying your ass off and things happen in the moment. And then, you know, you step a little far, you cross the line or, you know, and like that can happen. But. Yeah, the people hold you to such a strict standard for it when they're not putting anything out there. They're not helping the situation at all, because I feel like you are helping the world in a certain way. In a way it needs help. You're creating warmth in a dark, cold world when you're trying to be funny, when you're trying to make people laugh or make people comfortable or whatever. And so, you know, if they're not ever doing that and they're just going to tell you when you're messing up, that I just think they're totally not in the game. They're totally not in the, they're not doing the work. They don't understand the trade. And I'm not talking about I'm a comedian or I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm just talking about life in general, being a person who likes to make people laugh and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, and then the other people who don't get it and they just want to catch you and suck the life out of it and, you know, pop your balloon. So
people are threatened. People are subconsciously threatened a lot of the time. And sometimes they smell that warmth or that risk taker thing. And they just subconsciously even want to stomp it down because of that. But in their head, they've convinced themselves it's for other reasons. They're protecting something or, you know, but I think at the end of the day, people like the three of us don't stop trying to bring laughter into topics that are touched, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't like when people say you can't talk about this one certain thing.
Right.
You want to be like, why?
Yes, that's the worst thing you could tell. Like, if you tell me, I get like if you're hired to do like a fundraiser or something, and they tell you what not to talk about, I get that you know, I'll respect that sometimes, but. If you're at a club and a booker or a club owner says, oh, don't talk about this. It's like, why did you even put that in my head? The minute you tell me not to talk about that, it's literally all I want to talk about. I never would have occurred to me to talk about it if you hadn't told me not to. And also, I think that, like, I think the kind of comedy that I do, I think the kind of comedy you do, Kate, it's like you want to make people laugh at shit they don't want to laugh at. Like, that to me is the most rewarding laugh. Like, when you've got a room full of people who are like, I don't agree with any of this, but it's fucking funny. That's, to me, that's the best. Like, that's the best. Like, that's the laugh that you, that's the hardest earned.
Yeah. I think, like, pushing limits and telling your truth. And I'm excited for when CG does get on stage, because he's also, he pushes limits, like, just in conversations and group chats. And I think those, I think that kind of a person ultimately does the best. I think those are the most successful comics, even though it might be a little scarier to, because also, like, and I've seen Ken and I both do this, like, when you go on stage with a new concept or joke and it bombs, I'm not saying we bomb a lot, Ken, but
I bomb a lot.
Each other.
I bomb all the time.
We both see each other. I have, like, this distinct, that, like, you've told me, you were like, I'm trying this on stage tonight, what do you think? And I'm like, man, it's funny, but I don't know. And, like, vice versa. And it's funny, like, I just think it's great when people push limits and say, like, let's see. But that's way more exciting to watch than someone who's, like, found the formula to get everyone to laugh at every joke.
And yep. It's
a topic that, like, has been done a million times, and you're like, oh, come on, you know. So, like, I'd rather see a comic bomb every now and then, but they're talking about shit that you don't really hear people talk about, or a new perspective. And you can't really do that if you're scared and living in this fake PC world, you know. So
I bombed so hard at a show in Pennsylvania last week that a lady raised her hand to ask why I had to talk so much. I was like, the show wasn't going well. And then I was like in the Poconos and I stopped and I was like, all right, listen, this is the deal. You guys paid for a comedy show. This is the show. Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic and you risked your lives to come here. So why not try and enjoy it? And then, like, I had thrown out one of my best jokes that I know is fun. Like, it always works. And it barely got a chuckle. And I was like, you guys are in the Poconos. The jokes aren't going to get better than this. You know, like, one of us has to change. And I don't think I'm capable of it. So maybe you guys could start changing, like, right now. And then this woman still just looked very annoyed with me. And I was like, listen, I was like, normally I'm trying to not, I'm actively trying not to be such an asshole to the crowd. Like, I've got to, like, work on projecting a little more maybe likability. So I said to her, listen, like, normally when I see somebody looking at me like this, I would attack them. And then I always go home thinking, like, you know what? I was a dick. And what if it had nothing to do with me? What if they had a bad day? What if their marriage broke up, like, that day? And so I said to her, I was like, so is that, like, is it me, or do you have something else going on? She was like, no, it's you. And then a lady at the next table raised her hand, and I called on her. I was like, okay, I guess we're at the question and answer stage. And she raised her hand. She was like, you know, you're okay. I just don't know why you have to talk so much. And it was like, and then the room just kind of, like, they just went through and each one of them kind of told me what they didn't like about me.
That's normally not how.
It's a hard life, man. I guess it's had me shook about trying it, man. That sounds hard.
It was a long 45 minutes. No, but here's the thing. I live for that shit. Like, I know that they're going to go home and remember it no matter what. You know, like, if I sense things are getting uncomfortable, sometimes I'll be like, let me dig myself out of this hole. Let me try and make these people happy. And then other times I'm just like, nah, fuck them. Let me see how uncomfortable I can make it then, you know? Let's just drive it. I think it was David Bowie has this quote that I love so much where he says that art is, it's the only place that you can crash the plane into the mountain and walk away. And I think that's the coolest fucking quote because you really can. Like, you could just get up there and have a 45-minute disaster that those people are going to talk about for years. And you're completely unscathed at the end.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, and I know we have to wrap it up, so we'll do that in a sec, but it is quite an art form to do that. And I've also bombed a show once in the Poconos. Same, I don't know if it was the same place, but I brought like jokes.
I feel like the Poconos is not a place where elite people laugh very much. They're not around a lot of other people. It's pretty rural. You know, so like, I don't know what kind of crowd you're, is it ski resorts or something or?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
I've done different shows in that area and yeah, you just don't know how open they are to like.
I mean, they're mountain folk. Mountain folk are, I feel like they're tough to please.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, I'm going to wrap this thing up. Ken, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you, your podcast?
You can find me at Ken Krantz Comic on social media and podcast, I Love Rock and Roll. So easy to remember. iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever you get podcasts. I would love to have you guys on.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, thanks awesome. For coming, Ken. It's been real.
Maybe we'll do a Vanilla Ice episode for you.
I would love it. I want to do some videos where I'm Vanilla Ice because I don't think the kids these days remember him. So I think I might maybe do some of those.
You're gonna redo Vanilla Ice videos?
No, like I'm going to be Vanilla Ice in the video, but I'll probably be talking as Vanilla Ice. Not like a rap. I'm not really sure, but I think I could be Vanilla Ice in a sketch.
Before the podcast, just to get hype about it?
No, just for my life.
Okay.
just going forward, he's going to be Vanilla Ice. Why is that so hard to follow, Kate? He's going to be Vanilla Ice from now on.
Yeah, like people, you know, I feel like they don't remember him, and they should. And so, you know, maybe I can make some videos where he makes some appearances.
Okay. I've been waiting for his comeback for a while, so thank you for being the one to bring that in. I've definitely noticed there's not been enough Vanilla. Do you know Vanilla Ice? That sounded racist. I didn't. sounds really bad.
There hasn't been enough vanilla.
Yeah, the past few years around.
Yeah.
I'd love a little more vanilla around here.
Yeah. In my neighborhood. And that's why Kate voted for Trump.
I did not. okay. For me. We have an exclusive Patreon account up and running. Right now, we've got one exclusive episode on there and two videos. We may be putting more stuff out there, depending on demand. What is it? Supply, demand kind of stuff.
No, we will. You can't tell people that who's paying for a subscription for your thing that you might put some more material out there. We're going to put some more material out there.
No, I mean like.
Pretty much a sure thing. So in case you want to enroll.
No, I meant like it's already, I might put more than we've said we'll put is what I meant to say. It just didn't sound right. Like
oh, they did you advertise that we'd put some more than that?
Okay. Anyway, we have a Patreon account, patreon.com/invasionofprivacy at the Kate Wolf on Instagram. Find my viral video on TikTok, Kate Fanshawn Wolf. I'm pretty proud. And thank you guys for listening. Thanks for coming on, Ken. And
yeah, I had a great time. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, very, very informative. So thank you.